Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. We got Albert Breer coming up at 5:20. If you guys want to, interesting story. Daryl Ryder, who's been all over the stadium news, well, he just had a nice little write-up here on 92.3thefan.com about the new $200 million Berea development that the Browns are spearheading around the current cross-country mortgage campus where they currently subside. They're adding on to that. It's $200 million. Big, big story. It does look beautiful. If you haven't seen, and I will say, they also don't have fireworks in it. And I'm just to all the people out there.
What a miss.
Well, but this isn't a stadium. If it's a stadium, you better have fireworks in it.
We need renderings with fireworks. They like, all have them.
I knew they weren't serious yesterday with the Cleveland whatever the
I think you're calling it the toilet bowl.
Yeah, the toilet bowl. Yeah, that thing. If you had fireworks in it, I would know you're serious. You didn't have fireworks, you're not serious about it. They're moving to Brook Park. But this is more of a campus. Campus, you don't have fireworks at a campus. That's ridiculous.
$200 million is a lot of money.
It is. It is. It's about the cost of a house in Wadsworth now.
Oh, yeah. Is that right? You've been price checking out there?
Yeah, I've been price checking it. If I wanted to build one on like more than 0.25 acres.
I think it's better than it was a couple years ago, right?
Wadsworth, $200 million?
Maybe?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not
And that
Richard.
Was talking housing. we should have a brokered show on Saturday mornings.
Now to the Middle East! 216-474-0092. So, the Cavs is back and the Cavs is good.
You said it like we're going to the Middle East, by the way. Not that we're discussing the Middle East, that we're going to the Middle East. Me and you are traveling to the Middle East.
That probably isn't a good idea.
No. Yeah. Probably
not. I just, from what I've been reading, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, a lot going on over there. A lot of political angles, guys.
Okay, yeah. Get to the Cavs.
To the Cavs! They're 4-0. And what last night did, the win over the Knicks, it did a couple things. One, it discredited everybody who said the only reason they're 3-0 is because they played a bunch of crappy teams. And two, it proved that Kenny Atkinson continues to be the best hire in the NBA because how they won matters. How they won in the second half, they switched tactics, completely out-rebounded New York. They came back from a 13-point deficit at the half. And I'll be honest with you, Kenny Atkinson's ATOs, his out-of-timeout actions, are borderline erotic. So I don't know you could have scripted up a way for me to feel better about the Cavs getting to 4-0.
Knicks are in a little bit of a tough stretch here where they got to figure out a brand new team.
You hate to see it.
We like to see it, obviously. I don't know what to make of last night. I don't know. I thought it was gutsy. I thought it was gritty. It was every cool basketball term that you would want to use for like fighting hard and clawing and staying in a game. But the Knicks are, I mean, they're in game four of trying to figure a whole brand new system out. And the way the Cavs clawed into it, you were down 11. Jalen Brunson gets injured. He leaves for 5 minutes. We erased the entire deficit, and that was it.
I think...
Brunson not on the court was everything.
So this is the thing where I think you can look at what the Cavs did well and just take those victories.
Okay.
I don't think we need to put much more than that other than in four games, the body of the work is really good.
Okay.
But I hear what you've said, and here's the problem with the Knicks. They ripped the essence of what they were doing out of the soul of that thing. And I'm not saying Julius Randle was the soul of it, but it was a bunch of pieces. They were like the Misfit Island toys.
Mm-hmm.
Julius was not a superstar until he got to New York. Jalen Brunson had a great postseason, then became a superstar in New York. If you look at even Josh Hart, unheralded player, a guy that isn't Josh Hart in any other context but that one in terms of his importance. Every guy they had. And then they went and got a big name superstar making $50 or $60 million a year, and a guy whose biggest problem has been he hasn't been able to consistently get there for every single year and in crucial moments.
Well, I don't hate what the Knicks are doing. Like, they're shaking it up. They knew they weren't good enough last year. They're shaking it up and they're trying to find a way to get a lot better. And I like Mikal Bridges. I mean, I do. I like Mikal Bridges a lot. So, like,
I'd like him more if he had a good jumper.
I just don't know. Yeah, I bet he would like himself a lot more too if he had a good jumper. But like, I don't hate the win. I'm not like, it was awesome to see. I just don't know that I can celebrate it the way that I think a lot of people want me to celebrate it.
So we're at the point of the season.
The core four looked great, and that's the important part.
So we're at the part of the season though. I think you have to celebrate the differences for the Cavs. And the biggest difference is Kenny Atkinson.
For sure, and it's noticeable.
And specifically, like, the things that everybody talks about, halftime adjustments, it's the most overused idea in all of sports. To me, the adjustments you make in-game at any point, including what are you trying to do on inbounds plays, the coaches who are good at that, Atkinson is one of them. Borrego, who they almost hired, is one of those guys who's insanely good in ATO situations. Like, that's the difference between a guy who's good at culture and a guy who can just win you basketball games with basketball decisions. That's Kenny Atkinson.
Right, yeah. I have a larger Darius point we'll get to in a little bit, but off of that, though, is the idea that, like, I thought it was a stroke of genius by him to understand that after Darius didn't play good in the opening game and coming off the season that Darius had, the season from hell, coming off the trade rumors, big questions about whether or not Darius and Donovan can work together, what was the plan last night? The plan last night was to get Darius in the mix, and when he got hot, he was able to stay hot, and they just let him keep shooting. Like, that, little things like that matter, Nick. Like, those are the type of games where it's like, all right, Darius is feeling it. Let's not only get his energy going, but let's get his confidence up, and let's see where it goes. Like, that's coaching. That's coaching.
Yeah, but I think what you're driving at is also what I think is so key. The Cavs were perceptionally challenged around basketball. These pieces don't fit together. They're never going to fit together. You don't have enough wings. There's some truth to that. But these, even though we were having similar conversations, they were a lot fainter after Darius and Donovan's first year together because they were so good together. And what I think the first four games of the year proves, like, Donovan can have his moment, his game. Darius can have his moment, his game.
Right.
Evan can have his moment. Jared can have his game.
The staggering of the two
and
of them, too.
And I think that's how you keep Donovan fresh, right? When you say, hey, hot hand, we're going to play this, it might bring Donovan's points per game down from 28 points a game to 24. Who cares? Because if he's fresh, like, this is how you do it. Like, again, these are it's almost like themes. Like, if you put too much into anything for the first four games in the season, you're going to look like a fool either way.
Sure.
Because it's such a long journey. This thing spans until April. Like, this team's going to invent itself and reinvent itself five times over. But the themes or the theories you're working with, those things you can build a bedrock on.
Yeah.
Like, those have been the things that have been missing.
It wasn't just, oh, it's a big game, roll the ball out there, and let's see how many points Donovan can score.
Yes. Well, and it was, okay, so it wasn't just that.
We saw a lot of that last
year.
But
even in moments of, okay, this is Jared Allen's hot moment. Jared is feeling it on the defensive end. Let's get him going on the offensive end. Even if it's just for a possession or two. Like, it's the offense, if you can't see this, guys, if you're not watching, you're not ready yet, the offense has fundamentally changed. It's an offense now.
I know. It's kind of insulting how quick it's happened, to be honest, though. I kind of, for JB's sake, I kind of wanted it to take a little bit more time.
Man, I got to tell you, I mean,
it really is. No, I mean, I'm happy that we got there. I needed us to get there eventually. It's kind of insulting that it was able to happen this quick.
I know that there's going to be ebbs and flows in the basketball season. They're going to have a bad run. It could happen next week. Who knows? But I said this after game one, and I'm going to say it again. Every single complaint I had about JB, why he wasn't the right guy to take you where you needed to go, Kenny Atkinson has answered every single complaint or question mark or head-scratching moment. ATOs, huge thing. Lineups, rotations, making sure you're getting offense out of everybody but Donovan. Like, all of these things are falling into place, and yes, there's going to be a trade-off. Yes, you're going to have nights where you give up 140 points, and you're just going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
But this is, like, we talk a lot about the Browns' watchability. Guys, the Cavs might be the most watchable team. Because when there's something, listen, there has to be something innate. If you're going to be a team like the Knicks used to be before they traded for Cat, and now Mikal Bridges, who's still a really nice basketball player. I'm not trying to run that down. But if you're a team that is defense first, everybody's got to get going off that. Everybody has to catch a vibe on that. And this team, they played really well together, but not everybody vibed on it.
Right.
Young basketball players especially guys with top-tier talent, the only thing that gets you going is offense, and it's going. And I think that's the smart thing that Kenny knows. And like,
it kind of feels like when the Guardians moved to being like, we're going to try to hit as many home runs as we possibly can,
yes,
type team.
Yes, it is. It's so weird because I'm going to say something that is going to sound gobbledygook. It's vibes. Offense improves vibes. If once a week Darius goes off for 35 points, Darius is happy. because he's still because he's not looked at
and
as
that's,
a disappointing
that's what
player.
Happened last night. It was awesome that Darius. I mean, that was a jolt of confidence, is what that was.
Well, but you can do it for everyone. And if you do it with every, when I say everyone, I'm talking about the big four.
Talking about the core four, yeah.
If you're,
we're going big core, we're going core four.
I like core four.
Okay.
Mostly because I think I said it first.
Did
I?
I mean, that's wild to take credit for core four.
I feel like I said it first.
Yeah, because it doesn't, no one's ever put together four people being awesome together and calling it the core four.
No, it's a fab four. Thank you very much.
Nah, core four rhymes in such a perfect way.
I'm very insulted now.
You genuinely think you came up with the core
Not
four?
Not since Panda Peterlin has this show debased itself to this level. But getting back to the core four, I think like,
that was wild.
This is 216-474-0092. Who came up with core four?
Did Nick come up with core four? Yeah. Wild you
I
think
also
you did.
Came up with We Are All Kipnesses. Not that anybody remembers.
I had no staying power with We Are Kipnesses, but that's fine.
Because he retired. You're not being hateful. All right? Bring back Pander Peterlin.
Hey, when he goes to the broadcast booth, then we can all be Kipnesses again. We can all do that.
Now, reeling it back. I do think like this thing's sustainable. They're not going to go 82-0. We know that. They're going to have some natural ebbs and flows.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
But this is the way that for a year I said, coming off the Knicks thing, like, hey, you don't have vibes because you got spanked in the playoffs and you're embarrassed and that was a divisive loss. Have a good offense.
Can I be honest with you, though? I watched last night, and it's not like Darius, and we can get into the Darius side of things, and we will. But when I watch last night and I watch every one of these games, I'm just watching it through the lens of, did Evan Mobley look better today?
Man, I think
I know you hate that. I know basketball people hate that, but that's how I watch these games right now.
He's still averaging 18 points a game, which is a career high.
He's done great. I think like, he generally looks better. That's like if I'm going to give a tip of the cap to Atkinson, it's that Evan Mobley looks sharp. That has me way more excited through the first four games than anything else I can possibly say.
So,
and if I want to credit Atkinson, then we can talk about that another time. But like Mobley looks like it's all coming together in a nice way. And that's honestly what has me so giddy through four games.
But
it's not the
that,
four wins. It's not being the Knicks. It's that.
But see, this is the problem is we've used that when he plays well to say, oh, this is the Evan Mobley. And then if he has a bad game, we weaponize his success against Evan. Yes, long term. 82 games plus the postseason. At some point, Evan's got to consistently be your second best player. But that is about consistent every single day. Kenny going in and saying, today you're getting the ball at the elbow. Today you're going to, it's, and I think Jason Lloyd said this about Kevin Love. Hey, you're going to get the first touch of the game. Now that's for me, that's a bit of an oversimplification because I'm just taking Jason's point. It's not just like this, yesterday was a reminder. It is about the core four. It is. It
and
can
all,
be about,
everyone in the core four looked awesome last night.
Well, I think the regular season is
like
about the core
the
four.
The ideal game should be that right there, Nick, where the core four looks great, and then you just get what you get from the other pieces.
Ideal regular season game. In the postseason, it's got to be Donovan and Evan. But regular season, to make sure Donovan doesn't get burnt out.
You can't have Darius disappearing during games in the postseason either. I mean, game seven in the Orlando series, he went 3-13.
One season, man. We're going to get into the Darius thing. I'm happy for Darius Garland because I think he's answering a lot of those critics. 216-474-0092. The Cavs are 4-0. Am I wrong for just giving all the credit to Kenny Atkinson? I'm feeling jubilant. Let's get to Darius next on 92.3 The Fan.